Hello and welcome back to Twin Birth Stories. This is a safe space for all twin mums like myself to come on and chat about conception, pregnancy, birth and delivery, and life as a twin mum now. If this is something you are interested in, you can head on over to my Instagram page at Twin Birth Stories. If you enjoyed this episode, please give my page a follow and a 5-star review. In this episode, I speak to Karen. Karen talks about how her labour went from 0 to 100 as she gave birth to her boys at 29 weeks and 4 days. Karen speaks about how difficult the NICU journey is, especially when she brought home one of her boys at 9.5 weeks and didn't bring home her other son till 11 weeks. Karen speaks such truth as she talks about her journey and talks about how overwhelming the whole NICU stay is and how traumatic her labour and postpartum journey was. Karen is an amazing, strong woman, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome back to Twin Birth Stories. I am joined today by Karen. So Karen, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. If you want to start off, Karen, by introducing yourself and telling us a bit about you.
Okay. My name is Karen. I am from Cork, living in Cork. I am 34 years of age and I have just the two twin boys. No other kids, just the two.
Lovely. And Karen, did you always want to be a mom? Is this something you've always wanted?
Do you know, I wouldn't say always. My sister had three kids before I ever had the two boys. But so I suppose I was a bit younger when she had her three and I just loved being an aunt. That was what I loved. And I just loved kids from then. I didn't really have any experience with kids before hers. So okay. I took to hers and I just loved them so much. Now, at the same time, I loved handing them back. Now, I lived with them for a bit of time as well. So I lived with the kids and all the rest. So for a little bit of time. So, I mean, I was well involved with them. So once she had them, it made me be like, okay, this is something I want. But down the line, it wasn't something I was ready for just then. But then, obviously, I became ready.
Okay, so what was that experience like then of coming ready? How did you know you were ready? Or what was the day, the month?
It was just sort of something myself and my partner were talking about. And we just kind of said that, I suppose you just never know when or how easy or difficult you're going to find the process of getting pregnant. So it was very much... we kind of said, right, I was on the pill, contraceptive pill beforehand, and I said, right, I'll come off, I'll give myself 3 months to just rid my body of any of the hormones, and that we then would just see what happens. Because, you know, you can hear from lots of people that it might take a year, it could take 2 years or whatever, and I suppose he'd never tried to have a baby, I'd never tried to have a baby, so it was very much, we didn't know what our, process was going to be, so we just said, we just see what happens, and actually it happened straight away.
Oh, brilliant. It's so true what you say that, Karen, because when kids are younger, it's always told, you know, if you have sex once, you're going to get pregnant. And then actually, as you get older and you're trying to start a family or have a baby, you realize for some people it actually is so hard, and some people do have a long journey. So it's so hard to know when you're trying to plan it, when, because nature takes its course and it'll only happen for you when the time is right, really, isn't it?
So exactly. We probably, you know, in hindsight, were we expecting it a bit down the line? Yeah. Where we weren't expecting it to be straight away. We were at least expecting maybe 6 months, you know, that kind of way. But obviously when it happened. We had allowed for it, you know, but it was definitely that was quicker than we thought.
Okay. So what was that like then? Talk me through the night that you found out, or the day you found out you're pregnant.
Yeah. So I suppose we actually had been away for our birthdays. Our birthdays are within a week of each other. So we'd gone away for a couple of nights, and I came back and I was back at work, and I kind of was expecting my period. So I was waiting for it. And then I was getting cramps for a few days, and I just thought, oh, it's coming, it's coming. But I work nights as well. And so I was kind of just ignoring it, and I was tired. And, you know, I was just very much oh, it's definitely coming because I have the cramps. So it is definitely coming. because they were exactly like period cramps that I was getting. And then it was my second night and I was kind of going to be finishing that morning. And I was kind of like, should be here by now. I've had these cramps for a few days. That doesn't usually happen. So I kind of said, right, I'll go home. I'll have my few hours of sleep. And then when I wake up, I think it's time to, you know, take a pregnancy test. And sure, straight away it came up. All right, that I was pregnant. So yeah.
Oh, wow. And how did your partner take to this then? Was he as surprised as you were?
Yeah, you see, I had obviously come into bed, so he was already up. So I kind of did it all in secret because I was like, I'm probably delusional. You know, I was like, there's no way it's happened this quick for us. So I did it all myself. I just went into the toilet and, you know, you're meant to do your first pee of the day kind of thing. So I was like, oh, I'll just do it there now. And so then it came back positive. I was like, okay, well, I kind of want to tell him more than just calling him down into the toilet, you know. So I was kind of like, right, so we had just gotten a puppy at the time actually, which in hindsight I'm like, that was a but so then I was like, right, well, we'll go take the dog for a walk and, you know, I'll just let him know on the walk that, you know,
oh my god expecting. He seems so relaxed.
I suppose I kind of was, but at the same time, you just, I like, as much as you want the pregnancy to go, you know, seamlessly, you just don't know. So I wasn't going to get myself you know, too ahead,
too excited.
But like, I just wanted to let him know. And like, we actually didn't tell anyone for weeks that we were pregnant. Actually, we really kept it to ourselves. No, I told him, and sure, he was like, whoa, that happened very quick. So no, it was, you know, and we just had to roll with it then. And obviously then the fun of finding out that there's more than one in there.
So tell me that then, was that your first scan?
We had decided that we were going to go private, and we were, I think I thought I was about maybe 8 weeks, and we went to the scan and I think it turned out I was more measuring 10. But I hadn't been that sick. I had a very easy start to the pregnancy, I would say. Like, now I was tired, but, and I had a bit of nausea, but I could count on maybe one hand how many times I actually got sick. You know, I know, tired, yes, but other than that, I was fine. But he just kept joking. He was joking, you know. There was no thought that we were actually going to have twins. And he kept just saying, nah, there's definitely twins, definitely twins. And sure, I was always on Google being like, no, twins have the worst pregnancy. Like, they're so sick, like, you know, all the symptoms. And I was like, I'm fine. And he was like, nah, I definitely, but he was messing. There was
behind reason sayer.
No, he was just messing. He was just like, oh, you definitely will. You definitely will. And I was like, no, I won't. But then we had the night before the scan, our first scan, and he just had wrecked my head so much about telling me that it was going to be twins. So I Googled what a twin scan looked like, just to see. And so that was in my head, and I could see, like, and the one I looked up had the two separate sacs or whatever. And when we went in, that was fine. I sat in the bed, lay in the bed, and that was grand. And she put the wand, I'll call it, onto my stomach, and then she took it off straight away again. But in that one glimpse, heart was just like, it kind of stopped, and I was just like, did I just see two circles there now? So I didn't say a thing, and then she kind of, you know, was like, okay, and then she put it back on it, like, up further, and she just kind of found the one and found the heartbeat, and then she was like, okay, and then if I just move it down here, we have another baby with another healthy heartbeat. And I swear, we just, like, jaws to the floor. Like, I was just like, how how did you call it, and how, like, what are we gonna do? Like, we did not plan for two. I know you don't really, I suppose you just don't think about it, you know. You don't, you, when you're having a baby or trying for a baby or thinking about having it, you just think about the one. Like, it, I know I did anyway. I definitely never let my brain go. So the fact that I Googled it the night before was just by chance, like, you know. And then, like, we had a weekend planned to go to West Cork for a couple of nights, and we were leaving straight from the scan. So we just kind of, you know, said to everyone, oh, we're just off early, you know, whatever, because no one knew we were pregnant at that time. So we were like, oh, we're just going to hit the road early, make the most of the weekend. And so we had 2 hour journey then ahead of us, and I swear we barely said a word to each other on the whole journey. We just were sat there, and then I'd be like, oh my god, and then he'd be like, what, is everything okay, are you okay? And I was like, no, there's just two. And he was like, yeah, crap, this is mad. And then when we got back from our little two nights, we kind of obviously gave ourselves time to digest it ourselves. We kind of came to terms with it, and from there, then we said, okay, it's time. Even though we were maybe the 10 weeks, I would have waited the 12 weeks if it was just the one, maybe. But once I found out it was the two, I said, all right, I think it's time to let our families in on this little secret that we have. And yeah, they couldn't believe it either.
Well, and it's really nice as well to be able to talk to your family because you're still coming to terms with it. So you've been able to share with your family and both being shocked together. It's nearly like reassured or settled you as well. That's what I was saying. Yeah, oh my God. So how was your pregnancy then when your mind was wrapped around and obviously you had your twins? How was your first, second, third trimester?
So first trimester like that, we were pretty much at the end of it once we found out there was actually two. So, we were nearly coming out the end. So that was fine. Second trimester, I definitely found I had a little bit more energy. Obviously, towards the end, I was starting to get like that little bit bigger, and starting to get a little bit uncomfortable. But unfortunately, we didn't go to term. I had delivered the boys at 29 weeks and 4 days, so it was quite early. So Anna, but I must say, like, I loved being pregnant. I never got to the point where I was so uncomfortable, that it just wasn't there for me. So I thought I was having a great time. I love because like I never really had a belly before in my life, and I just loved it. And watching them move inside, and just like I just thought it was so amazing. And I just was embracing every little bit of it, and
Oh,
then
I'm
it
done.
just all came crashing down, unfortunately,
So how all did this happen, Karen? So you did you have in your head, 35 weeks, let's go to then, or like what was your sort of, I know mine was 35 weeks, let's try goal to here. So where was your head at
My head
to
was
try
the
and go to?
same. Like, I obviously always knew in the back of my mind that I could easily go early. You just that's just you're told that from the
For
start
fear.
anyway, and you're told all about the NICU and what could happen. But obviously, you're just aiming for, as far as you can get. So like yourself, I probably was like, if I could just get 30, if I could get to 35, 36, if I could get there, I'd be so happy. Like, and I knew I'd be so uncomfortable and like a balloon and like all the rest of it. But I was like, if I could just get that far, the chances of them needing the NICU is so much less.
Slim.
And like, I just that was the goal. And like, even we the week before they came, we had our little baby moon booked, and we had my baby shower was all planned and all that. So we didn't get to do any of that. The boys were like, no, mum's not allowed to have nice things. Now, I actually didn't know what they were either. We left that to a surprise as well. So I refer to them now as the boys, but we didn't know at the time. They were just babies.
So the night, say before, or when did you, were you getting Braxton Hicks, or was there movement, or how were
No.
you before now that they say that your labor started?
Yeah, so I think it was maybe, so I gave birth at 29 weeks, and I'd say maybe about 26, I was in work one day and I just started getting like I just was so uncomfortable. My stomach was just really, really sore. My back, my hips, everywhere was just so sore, and I was like, I hadn't had that yet, and it was just over, oh, it was just over a day, but I couldn't do anything to shake it. And I just felt so uncomfortable, and I just was like not right in myself. And I said, look, I get it. I might just be stretching. I might just be whatever. But for some reason, today felt different. So I was like, okay. And then by the end of the day, I left work and I still wasn't happy. And I was kind of on to my sister. And she was like, if you just aren't happy, if you think there's something wrong, just go to the hospital and just get checked. At least you know that the babies are fine. So we said, okay. So maybe about 8 or 9 o'clock, I can't remember at night, we said, right, we'll just go to the hospital. So we did. And in there, I'd say, like, I don't want to, give out about anyone, but they just were like, you're having twins. Like, you're just getting bigger and you're just in pain. And I was like, oh, okay. And they were like, you're just stretching. Like, that's all it is. Now, they were nice in the sense that they checked the boys or the babies. The babies are fine. So, but they just were giving me no time of the day at all. Like, they were just flipping me off, and they were just saying, like, do not realize you're having twins, as if I, forgot that part of my pregnancy. I was like, okay, no, I get it, and I get that I'm gonna get big, and I get all that, but I just feel not right. But anyway, that was what it was. They used to check the babies. The babies were fine, so I said, fine, I'll just go home and hope that, the pain goes. So anyway, from there, then, like, I was just getting uncomfortable a little bit, but it was kind of coming and going. So I was like, right, fine. I was still going to work and all the rest, but it was a couple of days later, then I was having another scan. So I went into my consultant, I just let her know, And she was like, okay, well, look, she just said, look, I'm just going to give you an internal exam and just check that everything's okay and just make sure that it wasn't anything other than just maybe you getting a little bit bigger and stretching. So she did, and she kind of said, look, your cervix is measuring a bit short. But she said, like, you wouldn't have a gauge of what that was beforehand. So maybe that is just your cervix length. But just to be sure, I'm going to send you down. You're going to get your steroids. I just have a feeling. And I said, okay. So it kind of
Wow.
went, yeah, it kind of just went from like, you know, just our next scan to, okay, you're going to A&E, you're going to get a steroid, and then you're going to come back the next day and you're going to go get the next steroid. And then, so that was a Monday. So that Monday, Tuesday, got the steroid. And then they were like, and then you're going to come back on the Thursday and you're going to get another scan. And it's another measurement of the cervix. And if that anything has changed, you're being admitted. So I was like, geez. So it just
It got very
all,
serious very
it
quick.
did very quick. And this was like maybe,
Okay.
I was maybe like 27 weeks at this point. And I was like,
Okay.
wow, okay. And it was just all, it was all a bit hectic. My parents were on holidays. They were away for like an, they go on kind of lavish holidays. So they were away for maybe 6 weeks at this point. And I was like, God, okay, right. There's, you know, my parents aren't here, like nothing. And I was like, I didn't want to scare them and whatever I tell them. So I was like, oh, I don't know what to do here. But anyway, we went in on the Thursday for the next scan and nothing had changed. So they were like, okay, look, you can go home, but you're finished working, you're done. Like you need to relax.
Rest.
So I did. Now, I wasn't on bed rest or anything, but it was just, you really need to take it easy. So I did. I really did. I took it easy and we got to 29 weeks. And again, I was feeling fine. You know, I was able to get around. There was no problem. I was doing very little, you know, and the again, on a Monday night, we were watching the TV. I had actually picked my parents up from the airport that day.
Wow.
Yeah. And we were in and we were watching the end of a show. We finished the series and I mean, at that point I needed to go to the toilet every hour. So
Yeah.
he, my partner Oren, was like, oh, what we watch next? And I said, oh, do you know, we'll figure it out there in a minute. Sure, I'll just go to the toilet there, you know, before we start something else, because I'm gonna need to go anyway in a minute, you know, or in 10 minutes, however long. So I got off the couch, got to the kitchen, and my waters just burst, and I just soaked the place. And I said, oh my God, what is after happening here? I didn't need to go to the toilet that bad. I was like, I don't think, you know, I wet myself here. I think this is something else. But Oren had actually ran out to the van, so I was trying to get his attention and call him, and I didn't want to move, and I just was so scared. And then he ran in, and bless him, he panicked. And my sister actually lives 4 doors up the road from us, he was just like, I'm ringing your sister. And he did, because he didn't know what to do, bless him. And she came running down the road and she was just like, okay. And she was just looking at it. She was like, no, okay, that's your waters there, that's it, right, into the shower, get yourself going, ring the hospital, you're going into the car. Now, we only live 10 minutes from the hospital, so you know, we're lucky that way. But that was it. Then they confirmed it was the waters of twin one. And that was the Monday night, and by the Wednesday I woke up and I started to get pain. So labor had started by the Wednesday. So, and there was no coming back once that had started. That was it. The boys were, I got my first kind of twinge maybe at 5:30 in the morning, and the boys were born just before 10 a.m. So
Oh my God.
yeah.
So Karen, before you went into this, obviously you hadn't planned and no one plans to go as early as you did. Did you have a bag set aside? Did you have anything prepared? Like, how are you mentally preparing now for this? Or when it happened, what was your mindset like then?
I did, only because of what had happened 2 weeks previous and me getting the steroids.
Okay.
So I had the bag packed for me, because at that
Okay, I'm
point I
done.
wouldn't need a bag for the babies, because they'd be going to the NICU. So I did have my bag packed, but I actually had unpacked it at the same time, because I had taken something else out. I think I'd gotten myself new pajamas or something. And I was like, no, I want to wear these new pajamas. You know, there's no need of waiting them for the hospital. But anyway, it mainly was packed, you know, for the most part. So I just threw the extra few bits inside, and we just, yeah, just threw them into the car and off we went. And I kind of knew I wasn't going to be coming home. I knew myself that
Okay,
it was the
you did.
waters, you know. It just, there was nothing. And then thankfully, you know, we were hopeful that the labor just wouldn't have started, because you can survive with the waters not or gone for a while, you know, quite a while. I could have been in the hospital for a couple of weeks, but it just wasn't meant to be. Twin one was adamant that he wanted out, so he
Okay, and
forced
they
the other twin.
obviously, yeah, your boys obviously had separate sacks then, so twin one had gone and twin two hadn't. So when you went into hospital that morning, then were you put straight then into the ward or the labour ward, or where did they put you?
So actually, when I was in, when I went in the Monday night, I didn't. I was admitted.
Okay.
So no matter what, from then on, no matter if it was 10 weeks or another 2 days, I was in hospital. I wasn't going to be leaving. So,
okay.
So I was already in on the labour ward. Yeah.
Okay. And was it panic station for when you were in, or was it just kind of like, right, we're just going to check this out? Did you remain nice and calm, or how was that whole experience for you before they were born, say?
Yeah, they kind of said, look, at any point, if you feel any pain, you need to let us know, even if you don't know if it's labour or not, because
okay.
there's a couple of drugs that they need to try and administer, especially when it's such preterm. There's a thing called magnesium sulfate, which, you know, helps the progress of the brain, the baby's brains. So they were just like, we need to get these on, and then it takes a few hours for the drip and things like that. So they were like, you need,
okay.
the minute you feel a pain, you need to let us know. So I actually just had woken up myself, and I just went to the toilet in the hospital, and I got back into the bed, and I was like, well, I kind of feel a niggle. I kind of feel, and it wasn't that bad. So I was like, God, am I, like, I
do
knew
I
the nurses
it?
Would be coming around at 6 a.m. anyway. So I was like, do I just wait? So I did. I waited that like 20 minutes, and then the nurse came, and I said, look, I don't want to be dramatic here. Like, I really don't know if this is anything. But I am kind of feeling a pain, so I think I should, I just want to let you know. And she was like, okay, straight away. So wheeled in the trace monitor machine, and she started picking up, she could pick up the boy's heartbeats, and then she could also pick up something else on the machine. So she was like, no, you are contracting. So she was like, it was from then on, it was just like, I suddenly had about four or five nurses in the room gathering all my stuff, like saying, ring your partner, get him here, we'll ring the consultant, all this. And then it was just wheels up on the bed, out of the room, down the corridor, into the lift, down to the thing. There was no time to stop and even gather my thoughts. It was just went from naught to 1 million. Like, it just went so quick, and everything was just, and I just was terrified, because at that gestation, you just don't know what the outcome is going to be, you know. So it was just, it was terrifying, you know. You talk about people who have these amazing birth stories, and it's so nice to hear them and everything, but like, it just, we just didn't have that, you know. It was just scary. Very scary.
God. Well, Karen, I'm so sorry that you didn't get the birth experience that you wanted, and I'm so sorry to go through this, because births are just so unpredictable. And when you hear people go through these sort of, because it is horror, I'd say, and it's traumatic, you know, I feel for you, because you know, it's just such a different experience. So when you went down, did they rush you in then? Were you going in for an emergency section?
Yeah, I had told my consultant from the start that, like, if it was my choice, I want to try and attempt a vaginal delivery.
Okay.
But at this point, she just said, they're too small. It's too
okay.
dangerous. I really, really recommend you have the emergency C-section. She said she had spoken to other kind of doctors there, and everyone was of the same opinion. So I had always said that, you know, fine, I have my preference, but I'm going to do whatever is safest for the babies.
Yeah.
So once she said that, I said, yeah, absolutely, we'll go with the emergency C-section. So it was just, once that, like I said, that magnesium sulfate drug was in my system long enough and the room became available, it was just straight in and away we went. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And if you want, obviously it's totally yourself, do you want to talk me through the birth of your boy? So do you want to talk me through your section?
I actually got a spinal tap, is it called, as opposed
yeah.
to an epidural.
Yeah.
I again didn't know the difference between either of them. I always had
yeah.
heard about an epidural, never knew what a spinal was. So I
yeah.
just, but I at the same time, I just was, everything was going on around me. And I mean, for a twin delivery in general, you have, you know, you have a team for each baby plus a team
yeah.
for the mom, and then when you add in such preterms, you've got you know, it just makes even more people present in the room. So there was
mm-hmm.
so many people, so much going on around me, the lights, everything. It was just a blur, you know. And I just laid there or sat there, whatever time, and I just let it all happen. And I was really just kind of like, oh, I suppose I was just in my own little world, and, you know, just trying to focus on, you know, answering the questions that I was being asked, because, you know, they just wanted to, you know, make me comfortable or whatever. And Oren had arrived within no time, so it was fine. He was there for it all. And once I was there and lying down, and they made the incision, you know, you can't feel anything, a bit of tugging or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
they kind of had said, look, they're so small, they're so tiny, they're probably not going to cry, you're obviously not going to get skin to skin, We'll see about delayed cord clamping, all this sort of stuff. It was all like, just it just depends how the babies are doing. So, and I said, yeah, like whatever. Like, again, I had my preferences, but in that scenario, none of that was what I wanted. So you just do whatever's best for the babies, you know. So twin one was delivered, and he actually did leave out a cry. And
Oh, I'd
so
say
there
you
was
felt such a relief, Karen, would you?
I really did, I did, yeah, it
Yeah.
was huge. And they kind of just said, oh, you have a baby boy. And I
Oh.
think they might have held his cord for maybe 30 seconds or something. But the other team, the team for the babies, are like, okay, we want him now. Like, let us have a look at him.
Okay.
So they kind of dropped the curtain for me for twin one, and they just let me see him. And I heard the
Oh.
cry, and then he was gone again. And then so then they had to, I suppose, burst the sac of twin two, and you could kind of sense everything change in the room. It didn't go great for twin two. He just did not want to come, whereas twin one was actually, had been head down since I think like week 14 or something. Like, he was ready to go from the start. Like,
Oh,
that boy
okay.
wanted out. But so he delivered so quick and so easy, and then they actually really struggled with twin two and trying to get him out. He came out, and his poor leg, because they had to drag him out, it was all bruised and everything. It was awful. But
Oh.
they eventually got him out. He didn't cry. They didn't drop the curtain. I didn't get to see him. So it was very scary. And we could just sense in the room, like, because obviously
Yeah,
you're
you
kind of, you
knew.
can't see anything. And up, the only person beside me was Oren, and he was trying to keep me calm. But I just was, all we were saying together was, something not right here, something's going wrong. Like, and it was 6 minutes between the two, but that 6 minutes felt like an eternity, because you just had no idea, because you couldn't really hear what anything one was saying, but you could sense that it wasn't going well, in a
Great.
sense, or going as well as they would have hoped. So I didn't get to see twin two. They just took him away. They did say that he was a boy. He didn't cry or anything. And they started working on him straight away, and they kind of were just. They were trying to be really positive, they were saying, oh, look, he looks great, he's fine, he's this, that, and the other. And obviously I was just taking their word for it. I didn't know anything otherwise. And they just kind of said, look, they need to leave straight away, they need to go and get work done, so we're just going to wheel them past you. We're going to try and get you a quick glimpse of twin two, but he has to go get some work done. So I said, okay. And they did. They kind of just wheeled him past my head, and they were just kind of like, okay, like that's kind of all you get. And it was gone again. So I mean, I barely saw him, because he was so small and in a little cot thing, if that's what they call them,
Incubator, yeah.
incubator. That was, horrifying. And you just, there's nothing you can do. Like, you're just obviously just in shock and hoping for the best. And like, my partner was great, and he was just trying to be reassuring, and he was like, no, look, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. And then you're kind of wheeled to the recovery room once you're kind of stitched back up and all the rest. And everyone was so nice and so positive, and just saying, everything's fine, everything's fine. They just need a little bit of work. They're just, they came so early. But even Oren wasn't allowed to go see them, and I knew that that was kind of strange, because my sister's first had been full term, but had a bit of swallowed a bit of meconium and needed to go to the NICU as well. But the dad was allowed to go straight away and see him. So I
Okay.
kind of knew that when they said that he wasn't allowed to go, and that he probably, like, so this was 10 a.m., just before 10 a.m., and that he probably wouldn't be going till after lunch. I was kind of like, God, okay. That's a long time, even, that none of us are allowed to see them. So anyway, they were very good in keeping us updated and seeing, twin two did have a pneumothorax, which is a hole in his lungs, and so they needed to do a bit of work on that. And they were both on ventilators straight away. They couldn't quite breathe on their own. So they were very good in updating us, but I suppose there was no real joy. Obviously, we were thrilled we had two boys that had been, and we didn't know any of that going into
Yeah.
it. So, we were holding on to any bit of positive that we could get. So any update they gave us, we were really holding on to the fact that they were giving us positive news when they could. But yeah, eventually he did get to go down, I think around 2 o'clock, to see them. So he just came back with a load of photos. But I mean, they had masks on, you couldn't really see them. They were in the incubators and everything, but they were doing well. They were at that point
Okay.
stable. So that was at least positive. And then because I had a catheter and everything in me, they couldn't leave me down until that was removed. And I think that needs to be in for 12 hours. I think that's what the rule of it is. So they were kind of like, look, you'll get to see them tomorrow. And I was like, absolutely not. The minute you take this out of me, I'm going down. I like, you can't expect me to just go 24 hours without seeing them. So they kind of understood that was a bit of a stretch to ask. So I think it was about just before 11 p.m. I eventually got to go down and see them, which was, like the NICU team had actually come up to me before I'd gone into labor, so that when I was admitted, but before I went down, they'd come and they had a chat with me, and if I had any questions about possibly, delivering the twins and them going to NICU. And they kind of had said that, like, we'll give you a tour, you can have a look, just so it's not so daunting. But I just, they came the next day, so and so quick
Okay.
that I never actually got any of that. So it was all so new, and the sounds and the beeping of the monitors, and anyone who's had a baby in NICU will know exactly what I'm talking about. It's extremely overwhelming at the start, like extremely overwhelming, but at least I just got to see them, and I got to,
Okay.
see that they were okay and that they were getting, the best care. Like, that is the one thing that brought the comfort, was that
Okay.
the you just knew they were being looked after. But no, it was a hellish little time. I won't lie, like, it's tough, but I have two healthy babies now, so it's all worth it in the end.
Okay.
But it definitely was tough.
Yeah, and it doesn't take away as well from how hard your experience was. You're obviously looking at the positive now, and that's absolutely amazing for healthy babies, but you've gone through so much, and you've obviously, oh, that's just so hard even to listen to, Karen.
Yeah, the emotion, honestly, yeah, it was, and like, twin one, who's Brody is his name, he was in NICU for 11 weeks. He kind of had a tougher little bit of a roller coaster ride inside
Okay.
there, and twin two got out after 9.5 weeks. But even still, like, if you think about it, that's 3 months of your life, so it was tough. It was tough, but I have to just look at it now and be like, we're out of there. Oh, we made it, and I got out with two healthy babies. Not everyone gets to
You're
say that.
amazing. Wow.
So yeah, they had a tough road. They had a tough start. They were tiny. They really needed, they had a lot of growing to do. They had a few problems, but nothing that by the time we left that NICU wasn't fixed. We've nothing long
Wow.
term, nothing that's at least shown at the moment. So, and they're going to be one next month. So,
Oh, amazing.
yeah.
Wow. I'd say it brought you two as a couple just so close because you knew exactly what both of you were going through together.
Yeah. It was a crazy time, and like, it was like my partner handled it really well from his point of view as well, because everyone obviously wanted to know everything about, were we okay, what had happened, like, everyone was on, and my phone was non-stop, but
Often,
I just
yeah.
wasn't able, you know what I mean? I could see the messages, I could see them coming in, I could see everyone was trying to, make sure it was okay, and even just family, friends, all the rest, no, like, everyone was being so nice, but I just didn't have the headspace for it.
Okay.
The only thing I cared about was making sure the boys were okay, and I didn't care about anything else, but so my friends quickly learned that I wasn't probably going to reply to them at all,
Yeah.
but that if they got onto Oren, that he actually would give them an update, and he
Okay.
so they started just talking to him, and he was great that way, so everyone was kept up to date and all the rest, but I
Okay.
just he had the headspace for it. I definitely
Yeah.
did not,
Yeah.
so but no, it's a wild little ride, and I'm not trying to scare anyone. If anyone listening now is pregnant with twins and possibly has the unluckiness of going early with them, like, but I think maybe some comfort could come from listening to someone's story, especially someone who does have a positive outcome in the end. It is tough. There were some hellish days, really emotional. Like, it was probably the hardest thing I have and ever will go through, but we're through it,
Yeah.
so there
But
is
sometimes,
positives.
absolutely. And sometimes, like for someone who's listening, it's not as though you're trying to make anyone fearful, but this is your story. And sometimes to listen to someone's story and, like you said, know that there is a positive, but also to know that it is hard and that they're not alone, that you've gone through this and you've come out the other end, to relate, to you.
Yeah.
How was that, Karen, for you when you had to leave the hospital for the first time?
Yeah, it was awful. The hospital was so good. So they kind of, I was in, ooh, I suppose, a semi-private room, but they actually, I suppose, the fact that they knew I didn't have a baby there, or my two babies there, I think, and the fact that they weren't absolutely overloaded with patients at the time, they didn't fill their other bed in my room. So I think, yeah, I gave birth on the Wednesday, and I was going to stay in even the Sunday night just because I liked being as close to the boys as possible. So I was going to stay in for the fifth night, but on that Sunday, someone did come into the room. So they had kept me on my own for as long as they could, and then they kind of just said, "Look, there is going to be someone coming into the room today, and you know she's pregnant, and she's going to be, you know, having her baby or whatever." And I couldn't in my own head. I just said, "Okay, I think that's it for me. I don't think I can be in a room with a person who now gets to have their baby with them," because I could hear the crying of in other rooms of the babies, and I didn't have my babies with me, so that was tough enough. So you know, I had my headphones in every night, and I was trying to drown out the noises and just, you know, focus on getting a bit of sleep so that I'd be, you know, have enough energy to go down to the NICU the next day and stuff, and sit with the boys. But it was definitely tough. So once I saw someone else come into the room, I kind of just said it to my partner. I just said, "Look, I think I needed to wait for an iron infusion or something." And I said, "Once I get that, I think I'm gonna go, because I just can't mentally." That was it. That was my limit. So I said, I'm gonna say it to the doctors, and they were happy with me to go once I had that drip. So we just sort of decided, and within 2 hours I was like, "Yeah, okay, we're gonna go." So then obviously you do have to go down to the NICU and in a sense say your goodbyes, which was horrific. But yeah, so obviously then I was coming home and my family were here and they were so happy to see me and they wanted to hear all the stories. But I just, it was a different headspace for me, you know. They were all like, "How are they? Is everyone okay? Are you okay?" And just wanted to like ask loads of questions, I suppose, you know, even though Oren had been keeping them updated and stuff. But for me, I was just like,
Just give me
I don't want to be
space.
here. You know what? I don't want to be here. I do want to be home, but I don't want to be here without my boys. And I knew at that point, I suppose I'd had a few days, and I was just like, "It's gonna be a long, long, long road." You know, no one makes any bones about it inside there. You're told very clearly from whatever, just like, don't expect your babies to go home before term time. So we were 29-4, so they said, you know, wait, 40 weeks. You know, don't expect to go home. If you do, great. That means, you know, the babies have thrived and they've gotten through things so easy and had a great NICU stay or whatever. But they said, you know, it's rare. So they said, don't plan on anything shorter than 40 weeks. So that's what we had to get around in our head, and that is what happened. You know, they did take the full term to kind of be ready to come home.
Did you do swap, say? So did your husband go in one day and you went in the next, or did yourself and Oren go in every day together? How'd you work that?
Yeah, so I suppose at the start he had a few, he's self-employed, but he took a bit of time off. But when we kind of sat down and thought about it, I said, "I need you to take a bit of time off when the boys actually do get home." I said, "You know, at the moment they're in hospital, besides when eventually they were strong enough to come out of the incubator," I said, "I don't need you in there with me. I'll need you when they come home." So I said, "You know, take the bit of time at this side of it." But he then mainly focused on going on the evenings. I spent my days in there. I just was there all the time. Really hard as well to ever leave, because you just feel so guilty. Like the mum guilt hits straight away. Like, and you just feel like I need to be here. And obviously I was recovering from a C-section and all the rest, but you just kind of don't think about yourself. It's just the guilt and just of going home. So, and but then I couldn't drive myself with the section, so I had to rely on lifts. So it's a headache, but we kind of found our rhythm. I would just get up in the mornings. I kind of I was pumping as well straight away. So I wasn't sleeping at night in the sense I was pumping every 3 hours, and I kept that going overnight because I just wanted to make sure I got as much kind of milk in for breast milk for the boys, just to give them kind of, in my opinion, the best kind of, you know, start at life, or you know, effort, you know, doing what I could do, because I couldn't do much, but I could try and do that for them, you know. So we were doing that, and so then I'd get up, I'd have my shower, I'd get a lift in, I'd stay there for the day, and then you have to leave between before 7 p.m. anyway for the shift change. So you have to go between 7 and then about 8:15. There's no one allowed in. So I'd get collected at 7, And then I'd come home and I'd eat something, and then I might go in back in with Oren if I felt up to it. A lot of days I didn't feel up to it. I just, my energy was gone. I was just zapped at that point. And it's a lot inside there. Yeah, fine. I was sitting down most of the day, and you know, eventually when the boys could come out, I was just cuddling babies for the day. But
Oh.
it's the monitors, it's everything, it's something going wrong, or another baby, something going wrong, and you're just
Okay.
in there. It's overwhelming every day. So some evenings I just couldn't face going back in there again, or I just was exhausted and I just would go to bed. So he'd go in the evenings. At least I knew that someone was there with them. You know, I knew they weren't alone. So he'd go in for a couple of hours in the evenings, and then again I'd be back then in the morning, and then the weekends we would just both go in together. So no, there was someone with them every day.
All the
Like
time, yeah.
they would have been there obviously overnight on their own, kind of thing. But
Yeah.
you can ring at any point. You can ring 17 times a night, you can ring once a night, you can ring as many times, and they'll always ring you if anything was to happen. You know, they're very good and they're very understanding in there. So you never felt like, you know, I had my phone on loud every night, just in case I got a phone call. You know, you weren't going to miss anything. But no, thankfully that never happened, that we got a midnight phone call or anything. But yeah, that's what you did. I had nowhere else to be. I had nowhere else to go. Why, you know, all I wanted to do was spend any free minute I had with them. So that's what I did.
Wow, God, the NICU staff and team just seem to be amazing.
Amazing. I couldn't thank them enough. You know, it's a funny one, because you're like, I never want to see you again, because you just never want to be in that position again. But I owe you everything. You know, without them, my boys wouldn't be here. You know, they wouldn't be. They wouldn't, like at 29 weeks, you know, the fact that they needed ventilations, you know, all the work they needed at the start, they wouldn't have made it if there wasn't for the medical teams and that we have, and the access to what we do have, you know.
Yeah, you've seen like you've such a strong mental headspace just from what you've been through and everything you say you go back to you putting your boys first and you're recovering, but you're getting your boys first. Like you just seem amazing, Karen. So well done.
Thanks.
What was that like for you then when you brought your boys home? So when I know the one came at 11 weeks and one came at 9, but what was the how was that then?
Really, really tough when the first guy got to come home. Obviously, you're so happy for him to be healthy enough to be coming home, and you want to be, you know, you want to be thrilled, and you want to, you know, almost congratulate him for fighting the good fight and getting to where he was, and like being strong enough to come home. But you then have to remember, you can't bring him back in. So once he goes
Oh,
home,
they're apart. I never even
they're
thought of that.
apart. Yeah, so they're apart. So I'm only one person. I can't be in two places at the one time. So it was absolutely what I was dreading the whole time when I was in there. I was like, at least if they get to come home together, at least if they get to come home together, it'll be fine. And it just, I could tell maybe from week 5 or week 6, twin one or twin two, Huey is his name, he just did everything right. He just was a slob in the NICU. He did nothing but just take his feeds and lie there. Whereas Brody was just so much more alert, and he just was like, you know,
Using
just
his
doing
energy,
everything.
like.
Yeah, and he was just using his energy and not putting on the weight and all the rest. And he did his own little few bits, but like it was kind of obvious from early on that I needed to get my head around the fact that one was coming home before the other. But even though I said I was trying to get my head around it, by the time it happened, I did not have my head around it. You know, oh my God, I was a mess, an absolute mess. I just cried and cried and cried. So we took him home, and yeah, like then obviously that's then when Oren needed to be home, because he had to be at home with Hughie while I then went to the hospital into Brody, because like that I was breastfeeding. Now they were getting breast milk through bottles as well, and through the tubes, and that's how they were fed for the first while. But they were exclusively getting breast milk, so I had to be there for both of them, really. You know, it was crazy. But looking back, I'm like, how did we do it? But he just stayed with Huey. I suppose I'd stocked up quite a bit as well, so I had a lot in the freezer. So between that, and it was just, yeah, I'd kind of be home in the mornings with Huey, and then I'd go in for a couple of hours to Brody, and not at the full days like I had been doing, and then coming home again, and then maybe going in again in the evening. It was just very all over the place. Every day was probably a little bit different depending on how Brody was doing inside, because he was still having a bit of few episodes, just a little bit of a tougher time. So I felt like, you know, Huey was okay, and I knew he was okay, but at the same time, you still had to be there for him too. So it was awful. I won't even try to
sugarcoat it.
Yeah, exactly. That was probably after the first week or two, where it was like kind of a little hairy, touch and go at times. That was probably the hardest part of it all, was when we'd won at home and won inside.
That's what I was just going to say. By the sounds of it, I'd say that was hardest to juggle, because you can only be in so many places at once.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like, you know, for parents who have other kids at home and then have a preterm baby or a sick baby or whatever may be the case. Like, I was so thankful that I didn't have anyone needing me at home, because I don't know what I would have done. You know, I honestly, you can't split yourself in two. And I'd feel so hard for those parents that had that situation, because the mom guilt, parent guilt, whatever it is, must have been unreal for them. You know, I only had it for like maybe what, a week and a half, 2 weeks, where they were split up, and I just was like, oh my god, this is awful. Like, you don't know how anyone does this.
Okay, and Karen, tell me then what it was like when they finally said to you that he was coming home and your family was going to be together then as four.
Yeah, so that was amazing. They get, they have to be 48 hours with no feeding tube and taking all their feeds and all the rest, and obviously nothing else going wrong. So you're kind of preparing. Obviously, it can change, and it did change sometimes, you know, where you think twin whatever is almost there, and then you come in the next morning and they've got a tube back in, and you're like, oh no, they didn't, you know, they got tired, they just couldn't do the bottle feeds anymore or whatever. So, you know, you're all over the place when you're in there. But you know, so I kind of thought maybe, you know, he's nearly there. Like, he still doesn't have the tube in, you know, we're getting close. But it was a Sunday of a bank holiday as well, so I kind of thought it'd probably be the Tuesday, you know, realistically. But when I went in on the Sunday, the doctors do their rounds and they have the chat and you talk about it all, and they were like, how would you feel about, you know, Brody going home today? And I was like, oh my god, amazing. Yes, thank you so much. Like, this was like 11 in the morning or something. And then I don't know what happened. I don't know, was it because it was a Sunday of a bank holiday or what happened, but it was 9 p.m. before we got to go home with him. So it was a long day. So it was, I kind of had been there all day, and, you know, Oren was home with Huey, and I just didn't come home because I was like, you know, it's going to be happen anytime now. It's going to happen anytime now. And then the 7 o'clock came where I had to leave, and I was like, what's going on? Why don't I have, is it not happening? You know, what's happening? And they were like, oh no, maybe, it shouldn't be too long. And I think they were all a bit like confused as well. I don't know what happened, you know, why it took so long. But they were like, oh, the doctor's writing up the discharge notes and it's just taking a bit longer. I suppose they had 11 weeks to make into all these notes or whatever. So I was like, okay, I obviously have to go home now because it's the 7 o'clock. And then they literally rang me. I'd say I was only just at the door, and they were like, okay, he's ready to go. And I was like, okay. Okay, I was like, right, well, I'm home now with Huey, so I'll just feed him, I'll get him down, because we left him then with my parents just for the half an hour that it was going to take us to go in. So Oren got to come in with me as well, and we both packed up Brody and took him home. And then, like, Huey was asleep just in his little cot when we got home, just in the living room with my parents, and we just put Brody then down into the same cot. And like, they were both asleep, but they were both just like looking at each other and stuff. And I mean, it had been, besides in the NICU when you can kind of take them out and have like double cuddles, it's called, you know, you have the two on your chest, like there's no sharing a cot in there or anything like that. So they hadn't been with each other. And then obviously Huey had come home earlier, so they had a few weeks apart and stuff. So it was just so cute to just see them together, even though they didn't do much. I'm not gonna lie, gave each other a big hug, but you know, it was just so nice to have them. But exhausting, so we all just went to bed.
Yeah, I'd say though, looking over the cot though was just like a pinch me moment of, we're actually here, we've done it, they're here, they've done it. Wow.
But terrified, because the few problems that Brody had was that it's something called apnea of prematurity, where they kind of just forget to breathe. So it's like sleep apnea, they just stop breathing. So, and he struggled with that quite right up to the end or whatever. And it was just one of those things that obviously you need your child to be breathing. So as much as we were excited to get him home, I was terrified.
Nerves.
I was like, what if something happens? Or, you know, what if this was too early? You know, you just question everything. So yes, we were thrilled to ever have everyone home,
yeah.
but at the same time, terrified.
Yeah.
There was no monitors to tell us if something had gone wrong.
Yeah.
We got so used to looking at the monitors. I could tell you exactly when a baby's vitals are great now and all the rest, you know, I know how to read these monitors. But, you know, you suddenly were left with nothing. And you just have to trust that your baby is going to keep breathing. And he has kept breathing.
So that's what I was going to say. Well, you've done it for nearly a year now. So how has your first year of being a twin mom, how's it been for you?
Oh, wow. Tiring.
Yeah.
No, amazing but absolutely hectic. It's tough, you know, it is, especially I think the first disregarding the NICU side, you know, when they got home, I'd say the first 4 or 5 months was crazy, just trying to, because I breastfed them as well. I breastfed them both exclusively.
Wow.
So I think that might have, you know, put a bit more zap
pressure
to my energy.
On.
Yeah. And I suppose I did feel pressure in the sense of, not the pressure that I wanted to do. I just wanted to make sure they were getting enough, you know, so I was just a bit worried that way. But no, I suppose it just a lack of sleep, you know, they wanted to both just be all over me all the time, you know, which I wanted them on me as well, you know what I mean? So it was very much, we did a lot of contact naps together. It was just, just tiring. I mean, those first few months, they were quite a blur, you know, very much like if I got 2 or 3 hours a night, that was a lot, you know, sleep. That was a lot. That was what I was living on for a long, long time. And obviously when they napped, I'd probably pass out beside them, you know. It was very much we really just got through those few months. But I must say from about 5 months, I don't know what it was exactly that changed. You know, there wasn't anything in particular, but I think it just suddenly changed and it just suddenly got easier. Now, I wasn't getting much more sleep, I'm not going to lie. Sleep is only just starting to improve with them.
Okay.
So we're getting a little bit of a stint of a couple of hours, and then I still dream feed them twice a night. But like, that's so manageable compared to what I was doing. You know, there was times, especially when they go through regressions and things like that, and you could be feeeding every hour because they just, you know, just whatever happens with their little minds or their bodies. But I would say the first 5 months, all a bit of a blur, and just like, you know, I accepted the help from everyone. Anyone who would make me food, I would eat the food. Anyone who could, you know, do anything, you know, I was accepting. My sister was doing their laundry and just bringing it down, done. And because I didn't have any time to do any of that, like, it was just it was full on. But it's easier now, it's manageable. They're so much more, you know, like, I suppose, alert and like taking notice of each other. Yep. And that's just adorable to see. Yeah. And like, they just kind of like rub each other and you're just like, that's amazing. Like, look at you.
So
like,
cute.
You know,
yeah.
It's just, and now it's just so fun. You know, it
Brilliant.
Really is just so fun. And like, they're only, I suppose, they're 11 months old, but they're only 8.5 months corrected.
Okay. Yeah.
So everything milestone wise is done at their corrected age. So they only look like 8.5 month old babies, or, you know, that sort of thing. But they're doing amazing. They're doing amazing. So it's such a fun time now. I'm really enjoying it now. But it was hectic, you know, definitely.
Okay. So what would be your advice then, as a twin mom now, to someone listening, even advice if you have for someone who may go through NICU as well, what would your advice be?
Advice for someone in the NICU is just really try and look after yourself as well. It's a lot easier said than done. There were definitely times, especially at the start, where I was doing too much, and then I think I was trying to leave the hospital, and this is after the section and stuff, I think I'd forgotten to take my painkillers, you know, whatever, because at the start it was still kind of COVID, people were still wearing masks and you weren't really allowed to bring in a water bottle, so you just didn't even have water, so you didn't even, like, it was all outside. But even just leaving the incubator for 5 minutes to take a pill. It just was, you just didn't think to do it, or I didn't think to do it, and I just, so I'd forget. And then I think I was walking out to whoever was picking me up one evening, and I could barely make it out. I was so sore from the scar, and I was just like, okay, I really have overdone it today. So from then on, I really took a look at myself, and I said, okay, yes, you need to be there for the boys, but in order to be able to produce the milk, be able to look after them, be able to be present for them, you need to also think about yourself here. So, you know, from then on, I just got better at taking my few painkillers. Now, again, it was only for the first maybe 2 weeks, is it, that you kind of maybe need something? It's all a bit whatever now, but yeah, I'd say just make sure you're looking after yourself, make sure you accept any help that you can get, especially if you have had a section and you need lifts. Like, you really have to rely on just anyone and
Other people,
everyone. Exactly. You really do. And people will step up and help. You know, if you've got family close, if you've got friends close, they will, because, you know, I think people, as much as you can't understand unless you're in that situation yourself, they at least know something about it. They at least know that it's going to be tough. So they're more than willing to
More than
offer
willing
some
to
help.
help.
Yeah. So I would say just accept the help so that you can get through it and you can be strong, so that you can be there for your babies, because you will only want to be there for your babies, you know? I
Oh,
would.
well done.
And then advice other than NICU, I would just say what's worked best for us, I think, is like keeping the boys on the same schedule as best we can. So like, I fed one, I fed both, you know. It wasn't, I
Same.
didn't just wait until they were kind of looking for it or whatever, and naps, we all nap together and that kind of stuff. I just found that if they're on the same schedule, that was better, because we did try a night or two just to waiting until they looked for food to kind of give them food, but those nights I didn't sleep at all because they just wanted to be fed at different times. So I said, okay, this
Okay,
isn't manageable. I can't do this. I need sleep too. So at that point, we were feeding them, you know, with the double pillow cushions and all that, and we eventually got it down, you know, working. And obviously my partner has been so good at helping. I think when you do have twins and, or, you know, multiple babies, the partner really has to step up
100%.
and help, and like, you know, the nappy changing and all that, and he has been great. So like, we as a team were able to, you know, get through those first few months on as little sleep as we were getting. And of course he had to go off to work the next day, and then I was alone with babies, and I was like, when are you coming home? I need the help. But you know, you get through it, and you will get through it, and it's a tough first few months, but oh my God,
Worth it
the
all.
rewards are, you know, so amazing at the end as well.
Well done. And what would be, Karen, your three words then to describe twin mom life?
Three words would be hectic. Definitely
Everyone
hectic.
has chaos,
Very
chaos or
full.
hectic.
Yeah, it's extremely full on. Like, you are one person with two babies, so it's a lot. So definitely hectic. I would say it's rewarding. I mean, you then have, oh, like, these two babies who just look at you, and you're their everything, you know. And they
So true.
just like they just the way they look at you when they look at you, and you can see how much comfort you bring them if they're crying, and then suddenly you just pick them up, and it's suddenly everything's okay again, you know. And that's just all they need and whatever. So it's really rewarding just to, like, just those little moments. And I would say you could toss it up between magical or messy, because I get nothing done. Nothing. It's very, like, so like I said, my sister was doing the laundry, other people were cooking for me. Like, I didn't get much done myself other than looking after the boys, you know.
But
So
that's huge.
that's it. And you don't have anything else to do. So therefore the other jobs are just building up, and the place is messy. But at the same time, it's amazing and it's magical, and you wouldn't change it for the world, you know.
No, well done, Karen. Well done to you as well. Your story seems so hard, your NICU time and your
Thank you.
rush, but you seem to have just taken it all in your stride, and your reward is your two babies, and you
Exactly.
deserve it so much.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
And
thank you for
yeah,
having me.
mind yourself. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye, Karen.
Bye.